Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a very important podcast. As a mom, I work really hard, but I do have four kids, and this podcast is going to be amazing for you moms listening. We're going to talk to Jim Shields. He's from 18 Summers, and Jim, I'm so excited to welcome you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Dr. K. As you know, we're equally crazy because we both have four kids, so we have that in common.
Yes, so you and your wife, Jamie, Jim and Jamie Shields, they help busy professionals create deeper, more connected, meaningful relationships with their spouses and their children. You've come up with a bestseller on Amazon called The Family Board Meeting, and you're an entrepreneur and an author. Your family organization, 18 Summers, has really helped transform families and show them how to make the most of their time together. So I have to tell you, I heard you on a podcast with Pat Flynn, and I just stopped in my tracks when I heard the phrase that I only have 18 summers with my kids. And I was like, oh my gosh, what does that mean? Because now I have twins that are 22. And I was like, is it over? Have I lost them already? And boy, I better capture that 15-year-old. I have like three more summers with her. So tell me, what's the philosophy of 18 summers?
Yeah, 18 summers was a simple math equation that a mentor taught me years ago. And he said, look, you really have 18 summers that, look, like his kids were grown at this point. And he said, they're still your kids and you still love them, but it's different. And what I've learned, if I can impart anything to you, is you got to grab those first 18 summers. And if you do, of course, they're going to come back for more after their 18 summers. But if you don't do it right for those first 18 summers, it's a lot harder to forge the relationship. It's a lot harder to deepen the path. So he said, really know that the years are not all created equal. And you got to take hold of that time that you have so that as they are adults, they still want to come back for more.
It's very true. There's something about childhood where, especially those first 10, 12 years, where they just really want to be with you and spend time with you. And that's the time when you can really impart on them your bits of knowledge and your values and vacations that they'll remember for a lifetime. What do you have special ideas of what those 18 summers should be, or examples of trips, or what kind of things have you been doing?
I think it's a common, what we talk about a lot, Dr. K, is there's the big events and there's the small events. I really push people to, again, take an adventure. I mean, it's been a little harder through the pandemics and things, but take an adventure that they're going to remember. That's real important. But when you take that adventure, actually be there. The problem is a lot of us busy entrepreneurs and hard workers that want to provide, we go on this adventure and we're not even there. We're in the hotel room on email the whole time or taking calls. And I'll encourage you, take an adventure from a week to 2 weeks, try to do longer if you can, and really cut off, really leverage out, try to hold it to your team so that they handle things while you're on the road so you can be there for your family. That's the big events. And the second thing that I want to remind people of is the little events. And we talk about, there's ways that I think you can reground, especially in the summertime, and almost get that summer feeling back we all had as a kid. If you'll just do a couple of things at home every day to remind you that it's summertime and separate that heavy workload from being present for your family.
Well, what are those things? Now I'm curious.
Yeah, one of the main things, and I think I talked about it with Pat, is the power of intermittent tech fasting. It's something that we coined a couple of years back. You know, we've all heard of intermittent fasting. There's benefits that are being shown in different studies that it will clean out organs. It'll help with weight loss, weight maintenance, right? You're not giving up eating, but you're only eating very specifically between this time and this time. I do the same thing with technology. Again, I'm running two businesses right now. We have four kids ranging from 4 to 17. So these things can get, you know, pretty blurred on the lines if you let them. But we have what's called just summer hours, where my phone will go off from 5:30 to 7:30 every day. And that forces me to go to the beach, to go into the pool, to be present. It's still light out. You know, again, get back into that feeling of being a kid again and being fully present for your own kids. What I found is the problem is a lot of people try to do half-in parenting. When you're still available for that one text, that one phone call, one email, and you get it and it's not a good one, well, you've now left the building, right? Your mind is somewhere else, mm-hmm. your emotions are somewhere else, and your kids can tell. So one of the most simple things we teach, Dr. K, is start with 1 hour. Mm-hmm. I don't care how busy you are, where your business is at, for 1 hour every day, shut off your phone, shut off your laptop, have your wife do or husband do the same thing, have your children do the same thing. They're not going to explode without their phone for an hour. And when everyone's electronics are off, there starts to become a more deep-rooted traditional connection. It's hard to explain, but it happens. And it brings back a camaraderie and a conversation, a communication that a lot of times are getting glazed over because of our work text, because of an unimportant Instagram post that our kids are commenting on while we're trying to talk to them. I'm not saying we can't do those things, but I'm saying have a clean division line of doing some intermittent tech fasting where you're completely and totally unavailable so that you can be there with each other.
That's so important, especially that Instagram line that hits home, because half the time we're trying to like document and take photos of the fun things we're doing or the food we're eating, and it does distract. So I think I have to learn that lesson. Are you guys doing anything in particular with younger age group kids versus like your 17-year-old? Do you do more teen-oriented things?
Well, that's a great question. One of the best ways that I've found, again, you know, your 15-year-old conversation is different than your 22-year-old conversation, I'm sure. We are really strongly advocating the one-to-one principle. And the one-to-one principle means you got to separate the parts to strengthen the whole. So the play that I have with my 4-year-old is different than my 17-year-old. My 17-year-old wants to go offshore fishing. My 4-year-old, that would be pretty difficult to take. He'd be trying to jump off the boat at all times and change the conversation and what we're focusing on. So what I try to do is have individual time. Schedule individual time with each one of your children. Separate the parts to strengthen the whole. They all have different interests, different passions, different concerns, different parts that are at their life. And what I've found is, of course, you want to do things together as a family. But when you spend one-on-one time with your children, it is like it puts a magnifying glass on the relationship in a positive way. And it does strengthen the whole family. Again, by spending time with the parts, it strengthens the whole.
Talk a little bit about your Amazon bestseller, The Family Board Meeting. What exactly is that?
Yeah, so The Family Board Meeting was a simple strategy that my wife and I came up with to strengthen our family life. Again, you know, we met over a decade ago. I was running two businesses. She was running a Montessori school, Waldorf school, and we fell in love instantly. She was divorced with full custody of two young boys. And here I am all of a sudden stepping in a year later, the boys asked me to adopt them. So I'm stepping into instant family, and I didn't want to mess that up. And one of the things I knew about me is I could get hyper-focused into work. And I didn't want to miss the moments, miss the times. I wanted them to be, for lack of better terms, my most important investors and clients in my life. And what I did the first Christmas we spent together is I gave them these quality time coupons. And I said to them, okay, these are your coupons. And every quarter, and they're like, what's a quarter? I said, every 90 days, you're going to cash one of these in. It's a day with me. You get to plan the day. We'll do whatever you want. My phone's going off. They were 5 and 7, so they didn't have phones at the time. I said, my phone's going off. I'm going to go all in. And I just want to spend time with you. I don't want to miss these opportunities. And I would do this every quarter, one-on-one without my phone on a tech fast, doing something fun of their choice, talking at the end. And these days forged the relationship we had, helped my older son from troubles he had had from before I was around overcome. It helped me discover things they had passions and interest in, and forged our relationships. My wife said these were the grounding days that really solidified stepping into fatherhood for me. So we started to share this with different entrepreneur groups. And then all of a sudden, this strategy, people were saying, could you put this into a book? And I said, sure, it seems a little oversimplified. You know, it was a short book, but it took off. And thousands of families now around the world are using this simple strategy of making sure as they build their business, they're staying connected with their children along the way. And again, this is not a huge commitment, but it's a low bar that if you step over it and keep stepping over it, you're going to see results. Because I can say it myself and many others have been doing it for over a decade now, and it does work.
So one of the things that really impressed me and made me think carefully was like when you said that we need to look at our families like it's our corporation, like our business. Like, wouldn't you have a meeting with your business and your team and your each employee every 90 days? And I was like, yes, I do that at work. But no, I'm not meeting with my kids that often. It's just very sporadic, very periodic, and it's not in depth. So, I mean, that is an amazing philosophy. That's really how you should look at your family.
And once you get over this concern, gosh, that seems impersonal. You know, it's impersonal. It's forced. Really the opposite. You know, someone like you that's in high demand, could you imagine not putting your procedures on a schedule and you're just saying, come on in, we'll take care of it. It just wouldn't work. Things wouldn't get done. It would get botched up. So what I found is the more that I started to put on my schedule and it was clear to my family and to my team, I'm not available Wednesday nights, 5:30 to 8:30. That's date night with my wife. Don't schedule me a client meeting. Don't put me on a podcast. I'm not available. It's on the calendar. It's scheduled. Now it happens. That which we schedule gets done. The same thing with these days with my children. They're on my calendar. So people know, no, he's not available. And just getting them on there, it holds ourselves to it. So just that's one simple principle I've brought from my business to home. And it's been really beneficial.
That's so true. So you're doing that with your wife as well. So like, I love that everyone talks about date night and couples night. But I've just found that's very hard to implement. And you had discussed that you have a technique that you use to get beyond, like, when we do have a date night, we end up talking about like the kids and the house and the tasks we have to do and, you know, the running of the family. But it's not that romantic sometimes by the time you catch up on the nitty gritty of life. What do you do to survive from that?
Yeah, and we all get caught up in that, you know, in the hustle and bustle, like you said, first of all, to get it on, to make it happen can be tough. And then when you get there, you might get caught up in, okay, well, did we get the grocery shopper and we needed this and what did they do at school today and braces and which is all important stuff, but it's not what date night's supposed to be about. So what my wife and I started doing, first and foremost, schedule it. I am an ADD entrepreneur. I will mess things up, Dr. K. And I don't want to mess things up. So let's give me a fighting chance. If it's every week Wednesday, that's easy for even me to remember. So yeah. I can't mess it up. It's when you're trying to say, well, can we squeeze it in next Friday or maybe Tuesday? And let's say, we just simplify. It's Wednesdays, 5:30 to 8:30.
Not Fridays or Saturdays. Why Wednesdays? Because weekday, school night, isn't that hard?
Well, what we did is we did it Wednesdays for a couple of reasons, and we've had it Thursday and Wednesday. The reason we like the middle of the week, it's hump week, you know, it's hump time. It's the middle of the week. It's really a regrounding for us personally and professionally to have it midweek. Also, our boys go to a youth group on Wednesday night, our older boys. And so our youngers are with our nanny who just loves this night with them for dinner and games and that. So we just figured it's the middle of the week. It rejuvenates us. It keeps it separate. Sometimes we found when we were doing it on the weekends, there's family things, there's lots of other things going on. So Wednesdays were uninterrupted. And then sometimes if we were traveling too, it was a little tougher. So Wednesdays were just a very clear middle of the week day. We could go there. We could get into most restaurants, you know, you're not like, yeah. Oh, it's too busy to go out, you know? So Wednesdays just really worked for us. And we liked that regrouping at midweek point. It really helps us both on the personal and professional side. And then we picked the time. And then what we decided to do was, look, we don't want to just talk about the weather. We don't want to talk about what's next at the kids' school. And again, because those are important, but that's not what this is about. So we started to look up before we went on the date, one or two questions off the internet, you know, pull up, you know, deep questions for date night, or you can Google anything. And there were a ton of good questions, or we came up with our own. So we knew every Wednesday when we went out, we would each bring a question to date night. And it's not, you know, Dr. K, what is your favorite color? You know, you don't want it something really dry. It would be something more like, you know, name the time that you realize that you're in love with me. You know, what is the most memorable vacation we've ever gone on? Or it could be something name a time, name when you were going through a time you were going through a really a tough, difficult time, and you felt like I really wasn't there for you. So there's some deep questions, but if you're open to staying open and vulnerable, man, you can learn a lot about each other. Who was your favorite teacher as a kid and why? I really want to continue to be friends with my wife and continue to date her and get to know her. And this one thing of having one or two questions every date night that get below the surface has helped us continue to do that.
That's so true. In some ways, you've stopped dating each other and you stop asking those questions after courtship and marriage and children. And then you just are like, it's like you just know the person you were when you were 20, when you first met. And so much has happened in between. So there's so much to uncover. So that's really innovative. You should have like you should have another book coming for this topic.
We made the cards. We just haven't released them yet on Amazon, but we made the little deck of, you know, 52 cards on these little thing you can fit in your pocket. So for at least a year, you can go with and have that question ready for you.
So Jim, my kids being 22, do I still have room? Is there time to make further relationship building, or is it too late if they're past 18?
I don't think it's too late past 18. Obviously, there's certain families out there that have had real big disconnection through serious stuff of abuse or addiction. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our busy entrepreneurs like us who, you know, we've been busy and we feel like, gosh, we want to still spend time with them. We don't want to lose that. So how do we do that? I always say, don't make the solution more complicated than the problem has to be. And I go back to these principles. One of the things that a lot of clients we started working with almost 10 years ago are doing now is, like I just described, when my kids are young right now, none of them have left the house, I spend a day, a quarter with each of them. Now, at the age of 22, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that, Dr. K. They're going to have their own life. But what I do plan to do, and a lot of people are doing, one day a year, you spend with that child. Just one day a year, and people go, oh, what's that going to do? And I say to you, well, how many of you have spent one day a year with your phone off, fully present, planning out a fun day of something they want to do, and just going all in with no distractions, no girlfriend or boyfriend or sibling or spouse or anything, just you and them one-on-one for one day a year? It's an absolute game changer. So if you go to the one-to-one principle and intermittent tech fast and actually have the courage to turn off your phone and enjoy each other just for that one day a year, the conversation and the grounding that can occur is absolutely incredible. And the one thing that I want to continue to do, that I try to do to my children all the time, not all the time, but in enough regimented amount of time, is I'm always trying to think about when I'm shy on giving a sincere compliment or a genuine apology. And we're always in need of doing that. And sometimes our bravado or our ego gets in the way. And I don't know what I've messed up on. Sometimes something will come up and I'll just say to one of my sons, hey, you know, a few years ago, I remember I was being really cranky with you about that. I just want to say, I'm sorry. That I was short. We were going through this. And they're usually like, no worries. But I know it feels good to hear that. And sometimes we're short on saying, especially with what I've seen working with families and their children are now young professionals, we might just be pushing them to say, okay, you did that, but can you do this? Okay, well, are you trying to move up to this? We're trying to push them up their ladder of their career instead of giving them just a straight out compliment of where they're at now. Mm-hmm. Hey, you've worked really hard. I just want to let you know I've seen that, and you should feel good about yourself. Nice work. It's amazing how far a compliment or a sincere apology can go. And we overlook them because they feel weird to give, but they land, especially if they're authentic, they land.
That is so true. Is there any guideline on a legitimate heartfelt apology? Like, what are the specific things that need to be part of that? Or is it just say what's in your heart?
I think you hit it on the nail on the head. If you are trying to manipulate or have an ulterior motive for that apology, like I'm going to apologize because I want them to do these four things, it comes across. I mean, I don't know about 22-year-olds yet, Dr. K, because I don't have 22-year-olds. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that teens have a finely tuned BS detector. So if you are trying to force an apology and it's inauthentic, they're going to see through that like no problem at all. So again, yeah, being authentic, sincere, and be like, usually for me, when I give an apology, sometimes I don't even want to give it. And other times it feels super uncomfortable, or both. That's when I know I'm usually on the right track, where my ego's yelling at me saying, well, you don't have to apologize. You know how hard you've worked, and all these excuses. So that's some of the guidelines I've used to help me with a sincere apology, and not a backhanded one. Well, I'm sorry you think that I wasn't a perfect parent, or backhanded apologies don't go very well either.
So true. So are there any tips for getting rid of technology at family events? Because it's hard to do. I definitely, being a physician, I always have my phone with me, and my husband's a physician, so that's kind of an excuse, but.
Yeah, super. And that's why I say we want victories, right? We want connection, but we don't want to put you in a position to fail. That's why I always say, let's start with small victories. Let's start with stepping over low bars to get results. And if you can do that, that's huge. So start small. I mean, again, we don't want you to not be overly, you know, unavailable, because people depend on you and your husband. But what about for 1 hour?
Yeah.
1 hour. And what I found, there's a trickle-down effect, Dr. King. If you are able to turn off your phone for 1 hour, well, so are your kids. And you're not taking, I'm not ever suggesting to people, I want you to move to a survival ranch in Montana and never use technology again.
Yeah.
I love Montana, but I don't want to do that. And what I'm saying is, if we just take a break, all we're doing is taking a break. We're not giving it up, we're taking a break. And if you take a break at the same time, you'll see, it doesn't take long to be like, holy cow, we had no idea how much we were not communicating with each other when we're in front of each other. Even knowing, you know, that even knowing, Dr. K, if you are preparing for that, mm-hmm. you're almost still out of it. But if that phone is off or on airplane mode, for even just for an hour, there is a different energy. And so that's what I would say, is start small. And the trickle-down effect starts with you. If you can do it, they're more likely to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there's anything wrong with pulling a little rank and say, I'm doing it, you're going to do it for an hour. Mm-hmm. You might not like it. You're not over-punishing them. You're not taking them from their social lives, but it's a small starting point. And then usually I find teens to be pretty reasonable, as long as we lead the way. And you can say, was that bad? And normally the answer has been, no, all right. Because you're not ostracizing them, you're not taking them away from everything. You're taking a tech fast, and it doesn't last forever.
Well, I can't tell you how important this whole concept is. It literally just stopped me in my tracks when I heard this podcast with you talking about 18 summers. And I thought how special and important this is to give this message to all of my listeners. And I have a lot of listeners who are moms, working moms, entrepreneurs, and like, we're so busy and so driven, and we feel like we kind of take it for granted that our kids will always be there, and they're just our kids, and they really are not. They're little full-fledged humans that want to launch into the universe, and they don't want to look back. So you really have to dedicate some of yourself to this concept of enjoying each summer, and something so precious about summer that's different from the rest of the year. So being in the middle of summer,
yeah,
I thought this was a great podcast to do. So I can't thank you enough. Where can people, my listeners, find you and your amazing 18 Summers ideas?
Yeah, if you want to learn more about what we do, you can go to 18summers.com, or we're also pretty active on Instagram at 18 Summers Tribe. You can see some of our short videos and happenings of what's going on in our family and other people's families that are using these principles.
And don't forget also your Amazon, the family board meeting, and soon, hopefully soon, the date night for it.
Yep, the family board meeting. Yeah, I'll get you out a set of those for you and your husband.
Oh my gosh, I would love that. I'm definitely going to try to do more of that this year. And I have a 15-year-old, so I'm going to work on these next 3 summers for sure.
Atta girl.
I can't thank you enough for the advice and the change in mindset and philosophy that you've imparted. It's really so valuable for everyone out there, moms, dads, everybody. That's it for now, guys. I hope it'll make you enjoy your summer with your kids and your significant other. And don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. That's it for now. Stay beautiful and enjoy that summer. Thanks, Jim.